special recording. General Mills, makers of Cheerios, the oat cereal ready to eat, and Wheaties, breakfast of champions, presents The Lone Ranger. With the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a haughty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. Hail, Silver. Away!
Sailor Sam is the smartest boy. Whoever shouted ship ahoy, he can weather any storm that blows. He's got go power from Cheerios. Yes, he's got go power.
There he goes.
He's feeling his Cheerios. Cheerios. Cheerios.
Teenage nephew of the Lone Ranger rode his horse Victor along the trail near the town of Kenton. The trail followed the top of a ridge overlooking a valley. Suddenly, Dan's attention was drawn to a fast-riding horseman in the valley. Then shots rang out.
Ho, ho, Victor, ho, boy, ho, ho. Two men are chasing that rider and firing at him. Come on, Victor.
Dan started down the slope into the valley. As he rode, he drew the gun the Lone Ranger had allowed him to use for practice and fired into the air. Pursuing men turned and raced up the opposite slope as the solitary rider fell from his saddle. Dan holstered his gun and went to help the fallen man.
Oh, oh, Victor, oh, boy, easy, fella, steady, boy. Are you badly wounded?
I got a hit in the shoulder. If you hadn't come along...
I'll bandage the wound, then take you to my friends nearby. They'll take care of you.
Dan gave first aid, then helped the wounded young man to his horse. A short time later, they arrived at the Lone Ranger's camp, and the wounded man was soon made comfortable on a bed of pine boughs. He looked gratefully at his three benefactors, then spoke.
A boy saved my life. You men have been mighty kind. I reckon it's safe to tell you everything.
Whatever you tell us, we'll go no further, if that's what you wish.
Well, my name is Roy Barnett. I joined the Texas Rangers a year ago, and... recently was assigned to get the goods on a gang that's been operating in this territory.
Well?
I came down this way, posed as a drifter, hung around the cafes in nearby towns.
You finally met one of the outlaws?
Yeah, I became friendly with him, and before long he took me to meet the gang. The leader, a heavy-set German named Carl Lubeck. He doesn't trust anybody and watch me closely.
Lubeck? Tonto, he's a man we've been searching for.
Him plenty mean fella.
Well, earlier today I was at the hideout. There are two cabins. I was in one of them with one of the gang. Rest were with Lubeck in the other. The man I was with went outside just as another member of the gang arrived from town and said he'd found out who I was. I knew it'd be only a matter of minutes before the whole gang came looking for me, so I got my horse and left. I reckon Lubeck sent two of the men to gun me.
Can you tell us the location of that hideout?
Yeah, but it won't do any good. Lubeck was getting ready to move the gang anyway.
Storm coming, Kimisabi. Rain wash away tracks before we get to hideout. Are we not able to follow gang?
The storm will complicate matters. Regardless of that, we'll get directions from you, Roy. And after the storm's over, Tonto and I will go to that old hideout. Dan will stay with you until we return. Right now, we'll find shelter before the rain starts.
After the storm, the Lone Ranger and Tonto went to search for the gang. Meanwhile, the two gunmen who had wounded Roy joined Lubeck and the others at the new hideout.
Oh,
easy.
see you found this place all right.
The storm slowed you up, hmm?
Yeah.
You silenced the spy, Roy Barnett?
We followed him and started throwing lead. I saw him fall from the saddle just before we left.
You didn't make certain he's dead?
We didn't have a chance. Some hombre on a white horse came riding down the slope shooting as he rode. I figured he must have others with him, so we beat it.
You fools. If Roy Barnett lives long enough to
what
talk...
What if he does? Nobody can find his new hideout. Even if they go to the old place, the heavy rain washed away the gang's tracks.
That's true, but he learned a lot about us while he was with the gang. He may still be alive. Now go, find out what you can.
All right, if you say so. Come on, let's go, Slinky. Yeah. And we'll see you all later.
At the camp, Dan Reed watched over the wounded man. Roy dozed from time to time while Dan sat on a nearby stump, ready to attend to the stranger's needs. The camp was located in a wooded grove on the side of a hill. From where Dan sat, he could see part of the trail as it circled the hill below. Suddenly, he stood up looking sharply as he caught sight of two horsemen moving along the lower trail.
Two men riding a roan and a palomino. They look like the two gunmen who wounded Roy.
Then Dan realized the two horsemen might be searching for the wounded man. He knew if they located the camp, he and Roy, who was in a weakened condition, would be no match for them. Dan hurried to Roy's side.
Roy.
Huh? Oh, what's the matter?
The two men who chased you. I'm sure they're coming up the trail.
Oh, hey, hand me my gun. If they find
No use, Roy. We'd be no match for them. I'll help you into the tall brush and hide you there. I'll hide your horse back among the trees. We'll have to hurry.
But what about you? If they see this camp, they'll look around. Follow my horse's
track. I'll mount my horse and lead those two men away from here. I think they'll be sure to chase after me, and I know my horse can lose them.
Well, it's risky.
Yeah, I'll try to keep out of gun range. Hurry, they'll be coming along near here. As soon as you're out of sight, I'll leave. Come on.
After helping Roy to a safe hiding place, Dan mounted Victor and rode out to the trail. When Sam and Slinky rounded the bend, they saw Dan and started in pursuit. But Dan's horse, Victor, like the great stallion Silver, could outdistance most any other horse. And soon Dan was leaving his pursuers far behind.
Come on, Victor!
The boy planned to outrun the gunman, cover his trail, then circle back to the camp where he had left Roy Barnett. But Sam and Slinky realized they couldn't catch up with Dan, so they turned off the trail and rode straight down the steep slope to intercept him. Later, as Dan approached some large boulders along the trail near the foot of the hill, he was taken by surprise.
Stop where you are and reach for...
This is the same hombre, Sam. I couldn't mistake that horse.
Yeah. But I didn't expect him to be so young.
He's plenty husky. Better take his gun while I keep him covered.
Right. Yeah, I got it. Now speak up, you. Where's the hombre you found on the trail in the valley a while ago?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Answer him, you young maverick.
I don't have to take that.
No,
hey. That's enough. One more move and I'll plug you, youngster. You deserve that, Slinky. He knocked you right out of the saddle. Well, reckon he is kind of husky for his age. All right. Let's head for the hideout.
I'll get that fresh maverick.
Run right ahead of us, you. And remember, we both have guns ready to use. Now get moving.
Come on, Victor.
Get up there. Come on, get up.
We'll continue our Lone Ranger adventure in just a moment.
Hunter Harry is a boy of five. He brings wild animals back alive. He can capture lions, 'cause he knows he's got go power from Cheerios. Yes, he's got go power. There he goes. He's feeling his Cheerios. Cheerios. Cheerios.
To continue. Later, the Lone Ranger and Tonto arrived at their camp and found out from Roy what had happened. Making sure Roy was well hidden and had a gun to defend himself if necessary, the Lone Ranger and Tonto mounted Silver and Scout and set out to find Dan.
Easy, steady, big fella.
Steady, fella.
Come on, Silver!
Get him up, Scout!
The new hideout location Carl had selected was an unusual one. Underneath an overhanging bluff along a river, there was a wide ledge reached on either side by two narrow paths. Sometime before, a prospector had built a cabin on the ledge on one of the steep, narrow paths to the door of the cabin.
Sam, Slinky,
yeah.
Who is this you bring here?
This is the fellow who rode down the slope toward us firing his gun. He must know about Roy Barnett.
You mean you two men were run off by this youth?
He may be young, but he's tough, Carl. Slinky found that out when he hit him to make him talk. Slinky and
nothing to tell.
Going to have another squall, looks like.
Yes, that's good for covering tracks in case this fella has friends who may want to find him. We'll go inside. Keep him covered, Sam.
All right.
Let's go. Sit down, Reed.
All right.
Now talk. Do you hear? Talk!
I'm not telling you anything.
Tie him to the chair until the storm is over. Then, if he hasn't decided to talk, we'll take him outside and turn him over to Slinky.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto had followed Dan's tracks to the boulders, where he had been surprised by the two crooks. They started to trail the three from there when the storm broke and they had to seek shelter. Meantime, back at the camp, Roy Barnett was concerned when the storm broke. He realized the Lone Ranger and Tonto would lose Dan's trail because of the rain. And since Dan hadn't returned as he planned to do, Roy was certain Lubeck's men had caught him.
No use staying here. I'm wet already. I feel able to ride now. Get my horse and then go back to town. Tell the sheriff what happened.
After the storm had passed, Carl again tried to question Dan Reed. Then, impatient with the youth's attitude, he turned to the men who were watching.
He's a young fool. On time. Take him outside.
All right, come here, you.
Slinky? You will have your chance now to use your fists on him.
You're not doing a good job.
The outlaws, ready for some entertainment, quickly untied Dan Reed and led him outside. A few moments later, they had formed a circle around Dan and Slinky.
All right, you. This time you're going to know what it's like to get some real punches.
I'm ready.
Dan stood a moment waiting. He felt somewhat nervous facing the full-grown outlaw, but he noticed that Slinky showed indications of dissipation and decided to concentrate his blows on the outlaw's bulging stomach instead of reaching for his chin. In the seemingly uneven encounter, Dan was relying on the training and knowledge of fist fighting he had learned from the Lone Ranger and Tonto. Slinky suddenly moved in fast.
This'll show you.
I want to be shown.
Watch him, Slinky. He can hit hard.
Not hard enough.
Dan was light on his feet and moved about in such a way that his opponent had difficulty in hitting him. For a few moments, it seemed that Dan might be beaten down by sheer force and weight. But he noticed that Slinky was breathing with difficulty. Dan's well-placed blows to the midriff were telling on the outlaw.
I'll break your neck.
Not if I can help it.
The men grew tensely silent as the fight continued. In spite of themselves, they felt a certain amount of admiration for the youth, who seemed about to get the best of a man twice his age and tougher than most. Finally, Slinky moved in, determined to beat Dan down with a furious onslaught.
I'll finish this. I'll kill you.
I don't think so.
By Jimmy. He beat Slinky. Some fighting.
See, what did get out of my sight? Go on inside. But first I'll take Reed's gun from you. Give it to me. He made a fool of you and he's made a fool of me too. Men, tie Reed's hands and feet. Then throw him into the rapids.
The men, still impressed with Dan's fighting, hesitated a moment. That moment was long enough for Dan. The circle had parted, and Dan saw that he was near the rim of the ledge. With a sudden and unexpected movement, he ran and jumped into the river below.
Out of my way. Give me a chance to shoot that tit.
No use, he jumped.
Did you hit him, Carl?
I don't know. I couldn't see him.
He hasn't come up.
Ah, he's a fool. He can't survive the rapids. Let's forget him and go inside.
After Dan hit the swirling water, he swam below the surface, moving with the current. He was an expert swimmer, but tired after the fight, he realized he had to battle for his life in the water. Alternating swimming and floating, he finally managed to reach a point beyond the canyon.
I'm beyond the cliffs now. Have to make it to shore somehow.
The exertion of the long swim after the fight with Slinky overtaxed Dan's strength to the point of exhaustion. The shore seemed far away, and he was relieved to see a rock between him and the shoreline. Dan made his way to the rock and clung to it, gasping for breath.
This rock, if I can hold on to it long enough to get rested, maybe I can make it to the riverbank.
Meanwhile, the Lone Ranger and Tonto had ridden the trail, searching for Dan and the outlaws. As they rode along a bluff near the river, the Lone Ranger said,
Tonto, it's terrible to think Dan needs us and we can't get to him. That rain had held off a little longer.
Kimasabi, we know tracks start from boulders up along river trail. And maybe if we keep looking, we find hideout.
Well, if we don't, wait a minute, Tonto. Osilver, who?
Oskar.
Why we stop, Kimasabi?
I thought I saw something move on that rock in the river. I'll use my field glasses. Second. There. Otto, a man is clinging to that rock. We'll try to get to him. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, scout.
A short time later, the two men reached the riverbank opposite the rock.
Silver, oh, easy. Oh,
scout, oh, fella.
Me see him. Maybe him not able to hang on long.
Look closely, Tonto. That's Dan. I'll get him.
Hastily discarding his jacket, gun belt, and boots, the Lone Ranger plunged into the water.
Hang on, Dan. I'll get you.
The masked man cut through the water with the speed and form of an expert swimmer. Within minutes, he approached the rock.
Slip into the water, Dan. Place your hand on my shoulder. I'll get you ashore.
Yes, sir.
Now, take it easy, Dan. You'll make it all right. You'll soon be safe.
Soon, Dan and the Lone Ranger waded ashore, and the boy sank down wearily to rest.
It's good thing Lone Ranger see you on rock, Dan.
As soon as you're rested, Dan, we want to know how you got there.
I'll tell you in a minute or two, sir. It's too bad you got all wet coming out to the rock.
Well, that doesn't matter as long as you're safe.
You really didn't have to swim out. I could have made it ashore after I rested a little.
Dan grow up fast. Him get so him not need much help anymore.
Yes, Tonto. The joke's on me. I thought I was practically saving his life and soaked all my clothes doing it. Now he tells me he could have made it alone.
Well, anyhow, I sure was glad to see you.
Thanks, Dan. I'm sure you were. Now tell us what happened to you.
Briefly, Dan told of his adventure with the outlaws and of his fight and escape. He finished by saying,
they still have Victor and the gun you let me use for target practice, sir. The gun my father owned.
Do you think you can lead us to the path and approach the hideout?
Yes, sir. But there are 8 outlaws. You and Tonto couldn't go against them alone.
We'll take you back to the camp, Dan. You ride Roy's horse to town and get the sheriff. Then we'll move in on Lubeck and his gang.
Dan rode on Silver with the Lone Ranger, and with Tonto, they started back to camp. They had gone a short distance along the trail when they met Roy with the sheriff and a posse. Led by Dan, the horsemen started for the hideout to surprise the outlaws. Later at the hideout, Carl and his men were in the cabin planning a holdup. Guards were posted at both paths leading down to the ledge, so they felt secure.
We'll rob the bank in town, then leave this territory tonight. We'll head for
Carl,
some place.
Look out the window. Men coming down the path at the south end.
What?
Some are coming down the other path, too.
They must have overpowered the two guards. We'll be trapped in here. Get your guns and start shooting.
The sheriff's men moved toward the cabin from either end, using boulders on the ledge for protection and firing continuously. The outlaws realized they were trapped and fought desperately, but it was a losing battle, and before long they were subdued. Several of them had been wounded, and the rest threw out their guns, then came out with their hands high to face the sheriff and posse.
Well, we finally got him.
Sheriff, that one is Carl Lubeck.
I recognize him. I've seen handbills on him.
Hey, Carl, look. There's that young fella. I thought he was done for.
He has a charmed life. All this has come about because of him.
That masked man must have had something to do with it. I remember hearing about a masked hombre who helps the law.
Well, you're looking at him right now. Sheriff, we'll get Dan's horse and gun and leave. I'm sure you and your men can handle things here.
Right, mister.
Adios, Sheriff. Adios, everyone. Adios, Dan.
Thanks, sir.
All this happened because of a youth who knows too much.
I reckon he knows so much because the masked man's his friend and taught him plenty.
Who is the masked man?
That question shows you have a lot to learn, Lubeck. That mask hombre is none other than the Lone Ranger.
I'll kill this
Return in just a moment for a word about our next exciting Lone Ranger adventure, The Vindictive Corys.
Cause champions are made, not born.
Yes, sir.
Get on your way.
Get on your way.
Get on your way with Wheaties.
Reed's vacation with the Lone Ranger is proving to be very exciting. Now the Lone Ranger and Tonto find Dan facing a terrifying death as the youth tries to save the life of a man who planned to kill him. This is a story of thrills and suspense you'll not want to miss. Be sure to listen. The Lone Ranger, a copyrighted feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated, is created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer. Your announcer, Fred Foy.